This morning, I hope to equip you with some things that would help you the most in the basics of the Christian life. This is something that is not basic, but it's very, very misunderstood. I have questions about what I'm getting ready to teach you about a lot. And if you had some answers, you could kind of be seated a little. I talked with a couple yesterday, a family, had questions about what I'm going to teach you right now. Had questions 2 weeks ago, and what I'm getting ready to teach you is very misunderstood, but it's very essential that you kind of have an understanding of some things. So I'm going to teach you this morning on tongues. Now, I'm going to try to read a lot of Scripture and use a lot of Scripture. The word glossa in the Bible is what's translated tongues. Glossa. It's where we get the word glossary. There's another word translated tongues. Dialectos. Where we get the word, guess what? Dialect. A dialect of Italian or a dialect of Spanish. So the word tongues in the Bible does not mean gibberish. It has never meant gibberish. I was raised in a charismatic background, all right? A lot of my family is Pentecostal. I remember as a little boy sitting in assemblies, and I'd watch my grandmother stand up on the second row. And the best way, right now I'm not going to mock it, but the best way I remember it sounding like is, a lot of it sounds the same, is either or they would, literally I could imitate what I heard all the time. It was not like a language. It was something that was very easy to imitate. And I was raised in that, and I remember seeing some things. When I got saved, and I started doing some Bible study, and I started finding some answers. And don't get me wrong, I am not this morning going to cut down charismatics at all. The man that taught me, took me under his wing. And I mean, every time we'd meet, I truly believe he loves God. To this day, he loves God. He loves God. Every time he'd see me, Brother Nash, let's pray. And I mean, immediately, he would grab me and we'd drop. That was in the Marine Corps when I was in the Marines. Every time I'd go over to his room, I'd say, man, I got to go see John. I'd go over there. And there was always a bed right there. He'd say, let's pray. He said, we got to pray. And we'd pray. And I learned how to pray. Literally, I was a young Christian and he taught me to pray for long periods of time. I'm talking, he'd pray sometimes for an hour and 15 minutes, and it wasn't in tongues. It was, Lord, help us, please, and Lord, I need your help with this. And he taught me how to stay and pray. I was just a young Christian, never been around that type. I thought it was fanatic and wild, and I thought this. If you wanted soul winning, you had to go to the Baptist church, and if you wanted somebody who was on fire for God, you had to go to the charismatic church. As until I found out what... Until I went to Hiles Anderson College and I found out that Baptists can be shouting Baptists and have joy and because of the soul winning that they're doing. All right. So anyway, the word glossa in the Bible means tongues. That's what's translated tongues. And in 1900, Charles F. Parham opened the Bethel Bible School in Topeka, Kansas. 1900. Under his teaching and ministry, Mrs. Agnes Osman was influenced to speak in tongues or ecstatic utterances. I just get this feeling and it just overwhelms me and I just on it goes. It's called ecstatic. It's called emotionalism. And she did this. Within a short time, a dozen students had this experience. A woman started this in a school, not in a church. Two false things there. Started by a woman and it was started in a school, not a church. Two red flags ought to go up immediately. In 1906, the Azusa Street Assembly was founded in Los Angeles, in California. Their main emphasis was then seeking one's Pentecost, and ever since then, the tongues has been in the church. Let me show you where the ecstatic or the what you and I would call this ecstatic, where that has its roots. It has its roots and it goes far more back than just in the church. In 1900 is when it came into the church. But before that, there have been recordings even before Jesus came down to earth in the B.C., of Egyptians, the mystics, speaking in tongues. When I was overseas, I saw Buddhists speaking in tongues. There have been, and I'm going to give you some occasions here later, but in 1900 is when the tongues, the ecstatic or the what you and I would call gibberish, entered into the church and has been pushed as, boy, you better speak in tongues or you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You better talk in tongues or you don't have God. And that's when it started. Basically, it was in the 1900s. And ever since then, it's getting messier and sloppier. And it's involving a lot more people. You want to talk to somebody that's confused. Talk to a Catholic that speaks in tongues. I did in the Marine Corps. It'll make your head spin. It'll make your head spin. And Catholics are speaking in tongues now. Many folks are. But this is the things I want you to understand. Number one, when you are saved, you get the Holy Spirit when you trust Jesus. John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Number two, you don't get saved and then get the Holy Spirit at a different time. Nobody gets saved and then gets the Holy Spirit at a different time. I had a Pentecostal man come in my room in the Marine Corps. He said, is your name Greg Nash? And I said, yes, it is. He said, a man over here in this other barracks in the platoon sent me over here to see you. He wanted me to ask you, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, yes, sir. I believe so. Yes, sir. He said, have you spoken in tongues? And I said, no, sir. And he stuck his finger right in my face. He said, then you're going to hell. And I, wow. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, we need to have a Bible study on it. I said, yes, we do. Come on in. We had a wonderful time. He didn't know about my background and everything else. And I had some questions I wanted to throw at him. But you don't get saved and then get the Holy Spirit. You get saved, and when you say, yes, Jesus, I need you, please, because without you, I'm going to burn in hell when I die. Please save me. When you ask Jesus to save you, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, I'm just going to turn there real quick. Ephesians 1:13 says this, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God says when you trusted Jesus is when you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. You don't get saved and then seek to get the Holy Ghost. You get the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. The Creator of the universe comes and makes a dwelling in you forever when you get saved and when you put your trust in Christ. That's point number one. You can have the Holy Spirit living in you because you're saved. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you're controlled or directed by the Holy Spirit. Did you know there's plenty of people in the world? I meet Christians all the time. They're saved and on their way to heaven, but they're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They're not controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. You've met them. I'm sure you have. There's some people who go to our church. All right. And that's all right. Because praise God, where are you going to learn how to get filled? And where are you going to learn to please God other than in church? But there's Christians who have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, but they don't let the Holy Spirit control them. They haven't given Jesus their mouth. They haven't given Jesus their eyes. They still look at things they shouldn't. They haven't given Jesus their hands. And there's Christians who have the Holy Spirit inside of them, but have not let the Holy Spirit of God fill them and control them. And you get filled with the Holy Spirit by asking God for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Jesus says here, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. If you skip down to verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God says you get the... Okay, I can ask you a question this morning. At what time today were you filled with the Holy Spirit? At what time, Christian, were you filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? At around 6:40, I asked the Holy Spirit of God to fill me and control me. Since then, I've asked Him many times. Isn't that all that God says? He'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Let me ask you a question. When were you filled with the Holy Spirit this morning? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't asked God to fill you, but that's all God says you have to do. Ask Him, please, God, I yield myself to You. Control me and fill me and use me today, please. Guide me in everything that I do and everything that I say and every person that I meet. When, Christian, were you filled with the Holy Spirit today? I didn't ask you when you spoke in tongues. I said, when were you filled with the Holy Spirit? God says you are to be in a state of being filled all the time. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. God says every day you're to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You're to always seeking to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Before you go to work, God, please control me. When you're maybe on a break at work, God, please control me. Holy Spirit of God, please fill me and use me. God, help me do my work. Help me be a testimony. Ladies at home, help me, Lord, to do my housework and to do the things. Be a testimony to my husband. Help me to love him. And when you get home at night, Holy Spirit of God, fill me. God says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Be ye filled over and over and over again. Just ask God and ask God. Holy Spirit of God, I yield myself to you. In the book of Acts, Christians are mentioned as being filled with the Holy Ghost 10 times. I'm going to give them to you real quick. Acts 1:8, Acts 4:8, Acts 2:4. Acts 4:31, Acts 7:55, Acts 11:24, Acts 13:9, Acts 13, verse 9 there, Acts 10:45, and Acts 19:6. Out of the 10 times in the book of Acts where the Holy Spirit of God is mentioned as filling and empowering somebody, only 3 of the 10 times is the Holy Spirit of God, is tongues mentioned. Out of all the times in the Bible only gives 3 instances of speaking in tongues. And yet, whenever I remember as a boy, you got to seek to speak in tongues. You got to seek the gifts. You got to seek to do this. And before you knew it, everybody was supposed to be speaking in tongues. If I take the book of Acts for a model in the church, then it only happened in the Bible 3 times. But yet, in the charismatic church today, everybody's supposed to do it. And everybody's supposed to do it every service. And if you don't do it, then you don't have to. That's not biblical. If you want to just take what they're doing and match it up with Scripture, that's not right. That's not right. It doesn't match Bible. And you got out of 10 times in the book of Acts, only 3 times are tongues mentioned. Every time tongues are spoken, either Jews or lost people are present. Either Jews or lost people are present. So if you really want to get specific, when somebody says, oh, we had a great service this morning, 15 people spoke in tongues, then you could almost ask the question, how many Jews were present? How many lost people were present? Well, how many people got saved? Then why'd you speak in tongues? Okay, if you really wanted to ask it, tongues are done in the Bible. Acts chapter 2 is the verse, chapter that they always take you. If you would, take your Bible and open there. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is the verse, chapter everybody always goes to. But they did in Acts chapter 2. They did a lot of things in the Bible. And speaking in tongues, listen to me, speaking in tongues is not wrong if you do it the Bible way. Speaking in tongues is not a sin. But speaking in tongues is not gibberish. God defines tongue as a language. When Brother Domingo stood up and spoke in Spanish, that's a tongue. That's a language. It's not sin. Then he almost had Jeremy interpret. Okay, if you remember that night. That was just a couple weeks ago. Tongues is not sin. Misuse of tongues is sin. And what's going on today in the church, I will say this. I have not in my lifetime and in my soul winning in what I've known as a Christian, I have never seen tongues done scripturally. I never have. I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm just saying I have heard of it. Dr. Heil speaks of it, of how a Korean lady came down front. Nobody could understand her. And he said, hey, we got a soul winner. A lady started talking to her and the lady nodded as if she understood. But the lady was talking in English. The Korean lady got saved and then she could no longer understand what she was saying. I've heard of it happening, but in my lifetime, I have not seen it happen. I'm not saying that it cannot happen. Did you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying I have not seen it happen. And if God wants to use that, I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with the misuse of it and somebody standing up in gibberish and saying, listen, they have secular people at universities who have taped people speaking in tongues and said, that's not right. Because the amount of syllables that they're using and the amount and the different phrases that they're using, A, they're too repetitious, and then B, the length of what they're saying doesn't match, even come close to the length of the interpretation. Somebody will speak for 5 minutes, and then the interpreter will stand up, God loves you, peace be with you, and then sit down. And it's not making sense. It's not even to the secular world, it's not even making any sense. And if it's done the right way, God has a definition for it. But here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And that when the day of Pentecost. What's the Pentecost mean? Penta, 5. Penta, 50. 50. 50 days. 50 days after the resurrection. For 10 days now, they were gathered in prayer. Jesus arose from the dead and was with them on the earth for 40 days after he ascended. 10 more days, the day of Pentecost came. 50 days after the resurrection, here we are. The day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. I've heard people say this. I've had my friends tell me who are charismatic. They said, but I'm seeking to do just what God wants me to do. I said, all right, then the first time you were filled with the Holy Spirit, did it happen like this in the Bible? Because they say, I just want what happened in the Bible to happen to me. And I'll say, okay, then when you were praying for the first time, that you say you were filled with the Holy Spirit, did a rushing mighty wind come in the room? Did a cloven tongue as of a fire sit on top of your head? All right. I mean, if they, I take what they say and I say, okay, then did that happen that way? And no, it didn't. And verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's the verse right there. They say, see, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues. And I'll show you something here in just a minute. But listen, everybody, there's a reason that they spoke in tongues right here. There's a reason that the 120 up in the room 50 days after the resurrection, there's a reason that they spoke in tongues or other languages. Are you ready? Watch this. If we skip, let's not skip any verses here. Let's, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. There were a whole bunch of people there. Would you like to know how many nationalities, roughly, that the Bible gives? If you go down here, verse 7, I'm sorry, verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. The Holy Spirit of God took what they were saying and reinterpreted it to the people in their own language. There were a whole bunch of nations there, a whole bunch of people that needed to get saved. Watch this. Verse 7, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? They're all from Galilee. He said, and how hear we, every man in our own language, wherein we were born? Now, he's going to make a list here. Watch how many he lists. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes. 15 nationalities are mentioned here. 15 languages. Wow. Now watch what happened, because 15 nationalities get preached to and they understand the gospel. They end up down in verse 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 people got saved as a result of someone preaching in tongues. The Holy Spirit of God came down and took Peter wasn't the only one preaching. There, how hear we every man in our own language? Are not all these which speak Galileans? There were soul winners everywhere. He said, it's amazing. These people are Galileans, but we're understanding in Parthenian and Cappadocian. And in Mede, we're understanding the gospel, the wonderful works of God. This is wonderful. What was happening? They were soul winning, and the Holy Spirit of God reinterpreted what was being said into another language. That's the proper use of tongue. And guess what? Because God chose to use tongues here, 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people got saved in one day and baptized. Can you imagine 3,000 when we had 16 here just a couple weeks ago? Can you imagine 3,000 people lined up in the parking lot all the way down to the street ready to get baptized? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You're not smiling. You're not smiling. Tongues are mentioned by Jesus in Mark 16:15-18 when he told his disciples to go to soul winning. People say right here, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And I had somebody point that out to me and say, see, it's God's command that you speak in tongues. I said, that's not a command. Jesus said, these signs will follow those that believe. They'll speak in tongues. Why? Because verse 15 told everybody, he just said, get out there and go soul winning. And he said, and as a tool to help get people saved, I'm going to give you the tool of tongues. If I need you to do that, I'll give it to you. You'll speak in tongues. Why? Soul winning. Soul winning. To get people saved. To get people saved. Tongues, watch this, are the least of all the gifts, but they're the most mentioned by charismatics. If I take 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. 9 different gifts given by the Holy Spirit. The last 2 mentioned are tongues and interpretations of it. And yet when you go into a charismatic church or Pentecostal church, the number one thing that's stressed is, boy, you got to speak in tongues. When was the last time I had to ask my family some questions. You start getting into this and you got to ask some questions. I said, how come I never hear anybody say I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God and I got the gift of faith? Or I was filled with the Holy Spirit of God and I got a word of knowledge, or I got a word of wisdom. How come I never hear anybody say that? I always hear everybody, oh, I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I got the gift of tongues. I said, that's the least of the tongues. That's the least of the gifts. How come you never hear anybody say that? Oh, you got to speak in tongues. I said, how come everybody's pushing me to that? I said, how come nobody ever came up to me and said, you need to get the gift of the discerning of spirits. You can't discern people real well. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit for discerning spirits. How come you never hear anybody talk about that? You don't hear anybody talking about it because the emphasis is lopsided. It's totally wacko. All right? That's putting it in layman's terms. Amen. Everybody will not have the same gifts. God says in verse 11, all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. If God wants you to have the gift of tongues to go out and get somebody saved, then guess who will give it to you? God will. God will. He divides to every man as he will, not as you will. Oh, I got to have the gift of tongues. No, if God wants you to have the gift of tongues to get somebody saved that doesn't understand English, that's God's doing, not yours. You're not to seek that. That's God's doing. He divided to every man severally as he will, as he will. Speaking in ecstatic languages has happened a lot in occultic practices, and God warns against it. Isaiah verse 8, 19 and 20. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. God said, listen, this ecstatic, get to be able to assemble this gibberish has been around a long time, and God saw fit to warn against it a long time ago. A long time ago. In Isaiah 29:4, and thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as one of them that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. God says, if anything, tongues are a sign of judgment. It's a sign of judgment. It's not a sign of the blessings of God. If anything, if you take it from the Old Testament, it's a sign of judgment. But they want you to seek that. Tongues given in the Bible are known languages. God is not the author. Here we go. God's not the author of any ecstatic language. God is not the author of any ecstatic language. There's accounts of the priestess of the god of Delphi near Corinth. She spoke in tongues. The priests and worshipers of Osiris and Mithra, they spoke in tongues. The Gnostics spoke in tongues. The worshipers of the Syrian god Juno spoke in tongues. You can talk to people who were saved out of witchcraft, and witches spoke in tongues. It's what they're calling tongues. The ecstatic, the emotionalism, I just got so wrapped up in it. There's accounts of it in the occult many times far back. Tongues, as they call it, is not in the Bible. God's not the author of that. Homosexuals speak in tongues in some of their churches. But of course, speaking in tongues is of God. I have a problem with that, the way they define tongues. I remember they took me into a room, and there was a man in our church, and I got to lead him to Christ. They took me in a room, and when I was in the Marine Corps, I wanted to get right with God. I was seeking, I wanted to do something. They took me in a room, and this lady controlled the whole thing. All right. This woman controlled the whole thing. She said, now you're going to feel something come upon you. And she said, everybody quick, lay your hands on him. And this lady was controlling the whole thing. No leadership, no men, no pastor there, no anything. It was just this woman. Now, and then she started. And she kept on, do you feel it yet? And I said, no, I don't feel it yet. And the other guy over here, they're doing the same to him. You know, I'm kind of looking over at him. And he went there from the same base. Oh, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it. And he felt so pressured, he just went ahead and did it. Okay. Okay, dingo. Did I pass? I didn't do it. I said, I'm sorry. I don't know what you're trying to do. I really don't. I don't understand. I'm very confused right now. I'm very confused. That's when I was 19 years old. I was 19 years old at that time. Tongues, ecstatic tongues, has never been authored of God. Never has been. Anytime true tongues happens in the Bible, it's to get somebody saved. And I'll show you that here in just a minute. Any tongue will be a distinct language. Now you can turn to probably 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to give you something here. I'm going to read it off real quickly. And 25 reasons why the modern tongues movement cannot possibly be of God. Number one, it magnifies the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would magnify him. Number two, it glorifies the Holy Spirit. Number three, it magnifies the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number four, it seeks a sign. And Jesus said, an adulterous and perverse generation seeketh after a sign. Number five, it promotes ecumenicism. And this is what it means. Ecumenicism means everything come together. Right now, the main thing that they're using, the Pope. One of the popes has said that he has spoken in tongues. He's had the homosexual pastors, the Catholics, many of the Episcopalians or whatever, people of different doctrines who do not believe in the virgin birth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, very basic doctrines. They're speaking in tongues. And so watch this. Watch this. If you spoke in tongues, then that must mean that you have the Holy Spirit. And since you have the Holy Spirit, we need to lay all of our differences aside and come together. And let's not talk about the things that differ, because since all of us speak in tongues, we can all come together now because we all have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? And then a Buddhist speaks in tongues. Oh, you're a Buddhist. Doesn't even believe in Jesus. Nothing about the Bible. The Bible even, but since you've spoken in tongues, you must have the Holy Spirit. Spirit, so let's all come together. And the tongues movement is being used as a catalyst or as a tool to bring everybody together under the same roof. Oh, well, if you've spoken in tongues, then it doesn't matter whether you've trusted Jesus, because you obviously have the Holy Spirit, so let's all come together and let's just love and worship. Isn't that great? And that's garbage, and it's being used. I'm watching it. You read anything from fundamental preachers or anything like that, and they're watching it happen. Tongues is very dangerous. It brings people together who aren't even saved. I have no problem with sitting in the pew with a former Buddhist. I have no problem with a Buddhist visiting our church. But that Buddhist won't become a member until he trusts Jesus and Jesus only to get him to heaven, the virgin-born Son of God, and gets baptized, follows the Lord and believer's baptism. That's just basic. That should be basic. It says a second experience is necessary to be complete. You're not complete until you've spoken in tongues. They say it's speaking in a heavenly language. Okay? And I'll show you this here in just a minute. But tongues are a language. It says it opens your mind and gives God your tongue to speak through you. Okay? It says you open your mind and give God your... it says to beg, tarry, and plead for the filling of the Holy Spirit. There are times when you're supposed to beg, but there's times... Jesus said he gives it to those that ask him. Seek signs and wonders. And Jesus said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Seek new revelations from God outside the Bible. There's nothing outside the Bible. God says that... they say that miracles are from God. And I've got news for you. Not all miracles are of God. And you go to talk to a Pentecostal and they say, but the experience I had, it was so real. And I talk to and I say, did you know that Satan, you know what the word pervert means? The word pervert means backwards. And Satan is probably the greatest imitator of the things of God. Take the thing of just something basic like sex in marriage, in the bounds of marriage, it's right outside, backwards, flipped around, perverted. The devil takes what God made for good and makes it a vehicle for wrong. And Satan can take the same thing, an experience or emotions, and cause... That's why it's so hard to talk to people like that. But the experience I had, it was so real. I know it was real, but if I could show you in the Bible, Satan is able to call down fire out of heaven. Satan can do wonderful things. The healing ceremonies that they're having in the New Ages, you put your hand on this crystal and the power will flow through you. And the channelers and the spirit guides, the power is real. But I floated off the floor. I know you did, but that's not saying that it came from God. Satan is a great imitator. A great imitator. And you can't fall for something just because it's spooky. Just because you had a feeling or an emotion. It's fact, not feeling. It's more important. Fact, not feeling. The fact of the Word of God. Now, I'll run through this real quickly. They say that all who receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit will speak in tongues. That's not true. They teach that Acts 2:4 teaches the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They teach that the disciples received the Holy Spirit at a latter time after salvation. They teach that when receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you get more of the Holy Spirit. You don't get more of the Holy Spirit. They teach that tongues are a sign to confirm the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the believer. That's baloney. They say that it's okay for women to speak in tongues in the church, and the Bible says women are keep silent. They say that to speak when the Spirit moves you, and God says there's times when you're supposed to keep your mouth shut. There's times when you're supposed to keep your mouth shut. You're not supposed to speak just every time you get an urge to speak. I get lots of urges. I better bite my tongue a lot, or I'm going to say some things that are going to hurt some folk. You're not supposed to just speak every time you get the urge. Urge with a verge to merge. They say tongues in the Bible. They say the gifts of the Bible have been received in this age, and that's fine. But they abuse tongues. And 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10 says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. God says tongues is with signification. That means it's with importance. That means it makes sense. That means there, whatever tongue it is, it's going to be a language. Some say whether it's some unknown language from a South American tribe in the hearts of the jungle, wherever it is, that tongue is going to be of signification, significance. And God says it's going to be a language. Acts 2:11 says, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It's a language. Tongues are for the lost so they can get saved. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:21. Why was tongues given? Tongues is given for getting people saved. It's given for getting people saved. In the law, it is written, when men of other tongues and other lips will I, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. In other words, when somebody says, you need to speak in tongues so you can show all of us that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I have a problem with that. Because what you just said, you said that tongues are a sign for believers. And God says tongues are not a sign for believers. Tongues are, is not necessary for those that believe. Tongues is used for those that believe not, that don't know about Jesus. They haven't trusted Jesus. And the only way they're going to find out is if the Holy Spirit gives you the gift so they can understand your language while you're giving them the gospel. I hope I'm not talking to you too fast. But tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. Now, only unbelievers look for a sign. Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah, and he left them and departed. Number next, it is not supposed to be mass confusion or everybody doing their own thing. I remember going to revivals as a little boy, and things that they would say were great spirit-filled revivals, and everybody was everywhere. I remember the sometimes the meetings lasting 4 hours. I mean, I remember that as a little boy, you know, go to sleep, you know, and my Aunt Becky, you know, wake up, you know, and then there'd be the preacher right in my face. And it was just a little country church about literally a third of this, and the preacher would be walking around. I remember people standing up everywhere speaking, in, you know, in the aesthetic things there. And I remember thinking, wow, what's going on here? And I started finding out in 1 Corinthians, it's not supposed to be a mass confusion or everybody doing their own thing. They say, yeah, but we just go as the Spirit flows. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to do something that's out of order. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to disobey the Bible. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to lead you to disobey the leadership of the church. The Holy Spirit of God is not going to lead you to do something sloppy. The Holy Spirit of God will lead you to do things in order. How then it is written, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, or hath a doctrine, or hath a tongue, or hath a revelation, or hath an interpretation. And God says, let all things be done unto edifying. Every experience you have, you're not supposed to talk about in the church. God says, let everything, choose those things that's going to help everybody. And then talk about those. But these people were coming together in Corinth, at the church of Corinth, and they were saying, oh, but this happened to me. Yeah, but this happened to me. Oh, yes, but boy, what I learned. And then said, and the pastor would probably wouldn't even be able to say, listen, we're here to find out what God gave the preacher. In a little while, Dr. Cowling's going to get up. I'm sure those of you that read your Bible, I hope you did. I hope you read your Bible and prayed every day this week. You ought to have. If you didn't, you're hurting for it right now. But I hope you did. But I don't want to know what God gave you in your devotions. I want to know what God gave the preacher. I don't want to know the latest truth that you found out. Now, that's neat. We can talk about that later and everything else. But when it's preaching time, it's preaching time. It's time to focus on the preaching and get what the man of God has gotten from God to God's people from the Word of God. And that's what's important. It says, no more than three may do it, and it must be done one at a time. 1 Corinthians 14:27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, and that by course. God says the most people that can ever speak in tongues in a church, in a known language, is three. That's the most. And when I was growing up, I remember seeing 10, 15, 20 people. And God says it's supposed to be done one at a time. And this was the main verse that clicked me. Because I said, only one at a time? God says, let it be done by course, one at a time. And so I went to him, I said, how come people are standing up and speaking at the same time? Well, they're singing in tongues. I said, where? I said, God said, but when it's time to sing, some sing in tongues and some do this. I said, God said the most people that are supposed to do it is three, and one at a time. And then the next verse goes on to say, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. I said, I've heard tons of people speak in tongues, quote unquote, without having an interpreter. I said, will the Holy Spirit of God lead you to do something that God says don't do? No. So then who is the Spirit that's directing you to do that?
Well, we got the Holy Spirit.
Well, then the Holy Spirit's... No, something is off. You are doing things in opposition to the Bible, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to lead you to obey, not disobey. Therefore, the flag goes up, and I'm sorry. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm changing churches. I'm going to stick with the Word of God. God says, let it be done. The most that are ever supposed to do it, if it is done right, to get folks saved in a service, it's three. And if there's no interpreter, they're supposed to shut their mouth. Paraphrased. They're supposed to shut up. That means it would never be wrong. It would never be wrong. It would never be wrong. If in the middle of a sermon, I mean, I've seen it done. In the middle of a preaching service, the pastor's up preaching the Bible, what God's given him. And all of a sudden, just out of emotionalism, a man stands up in the back. Oh, God just gave me. And they say, sit down. You sit down right now. Sit down right now. That's out of order. That's not God's timing. Sit down. That would never be out of order. That's what God says to do. Let all things be done decently and in order. And no woman, here we go, no woman is to ever speak in tongues in a public assembly. And that's really, I don't remember my uncle doing it. I don't remember my grandparents doing it. I don't remember my dad doing it. Nothing. All I remember was the women doing it. That's all I remember. That's all I remember was the women doing it. And God says, 1 Corinthians 14:33-34, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. That does not mean when a lady walks in the back door of the church, she can't say, hi, how you doing? And maybe even teach a Sunday school class to some little boys and girls, or something like that, or give a pastor's have them give testimonies there. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is not permitted for a woman to speak in tongues. There we go. It's not permitted in a public service. So all the women that are doing it, I asked a guy this yesterday. I said, how many women speak in tongues in your church from what you say? Oh, boy, they do it every Sunday. I said, what do they do with that verse right there? What do they do with that? Do you just X it out? I don't want to believe that, and tear it out of your Bible and fold it up and put it somewhere. I said, what do you do with that? That is against God when a woman stands up in a public service and speaks in tongues. That's why it's wacko, and I talk to a lot of people about this, and I really do try to come across nicely. I am a nice guy, I really am. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to obey the Bible. If something is going on that contradicts the Bible, then the Holy Spirit is not leading them to do it. In 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. You better have some discernment about you and better be able to take what's going on and match it with the Bible, or you're going to get wrapped up in error. You're going to get wrapped up in false doctrine because it looks good. And they had a drum set, and they had a bass, and they had two guitarists, and they had a tambourine, and they had, and I'm not against any of those musical instruments. The misuse of them is wrong, but it looked so good, and they had a band, and everybody was just dancing, having a good old time in the whole service. And you better be able to take the Bible and get away from your emotions and match it with the Word of God, or you're going to get messed up. Oh, but they had a Spirit-filled service. What is a Spirit-filled service? Oh, they spoke in tongues. How many folks got saved? How many lives were changed? How many husbands went back to their wives? How many wives started changing their conversation in front of their husbands so that they could live right, so they could get saved? How many lives were changed? How many people were turned around? How many souls were saved? How much bickering was stopped? All that. But they don't use that. There's a couple evidences of being filled with there's two evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I'm done. Boldness in soul winning is one picture that you're outward sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 and Acts 4:31. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. And then number two, singing. Singing is very spiritual. Did you know when you don't sing, something's wrong? And just because you sing does not mean that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you'll sing, it does make an atmosphere conducive to the Holy Spirit where God can bless. And when you don't sing and refuse to sing, it's not a loss of anybody but yourself. Singing and boldness in witnessing are two, really, God says, Ephesians 5:18 and 19 are two outward signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody says, how many did you speak in tongues last week? I said, I didn't speak in any. I said, how many did you lead to Christ last week? How many did you see saved? Because that's what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Let's pray. Father, please help us now. And Lord, I pray that you'd please take the Bible and Lord, help us make us stronger because of it. Please, Lord, those that are in here and on the verge or getting wrapped up in something messed up, please strengthen them because of what's taught and then help us in the service to follow in Jesus' name. Amen.